guy's prettier.
Aww.
She's in front of me and you're not.
I'm ahead of the game.
All right, I'm here with the lovely Sweet Love on the Sweet Loves podcast. How are you this evening, Sky?
I'm good. Hello, listeners.
Yes, hello, all three of you. I'm sure there's more because, well, our podcast app tells us that there's more.
It's growing.
And we're grateful. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We're actually here tonight at a last minute, Hey, wait a minute.
Special episode.
We should do a special episode because?
It's tournament time.
Yeah, baby. The state tournament, the PPA sponsored, if you will, state tournament for Indiana is this next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And a friend of ours said, hey, you guys need to do a podcast on tournaments. We're like, yeah, we are. We're going to be at the tournament with our equipment, like doing live streaming, and we'll turn it into a podcast. He's like, no, tournament prep.
Such a great idea.
So we made him join us here at the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, Luke Gibson.
Hey.
That's all you can expect out of Luke for just a little bit. We'll get him to talk more here in a second, I'm sure. All right, so I put together some notes, which we don't normally do, but some notes on what we should cover for tournament prep. I'm a seasoned tournament player. I'm not necessarily a seasoned on-the-stand tournament player, like after the tournament's over, but I'm a seasoned tournament player. I've played in a heck ton of tournaments. I love them. You've not played in too many, Sky, is that correct?
I have not, but I am a certified personal trainer, and so I know how to prepare people for an event.
Well, you've also been a tournament director.
And I've been a tournament director.
A couple times. Mm-hmm. I've been a tournament director several times. So we have some, I think, fairly good insight for you. So let's kick it off with some of the things that are the most important. Luke, I'm going to throw it to you first. What do you think is the number one thing somebody should do to prepare for a tournament?
I like to drill a little bit right before a tournament. You know, finalize your shots that you want to try to execute.
Yep.
For your plan, depends on if you're playing men's, if you're playing mixed, you know. I like the drill quite a bit.
Are you playing singles in this tournament?
I am not.
Okay. That's the first night. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah.
So those people that are getting ready and the first ones up on the chopping block, so to speak, are the singles players. Sky, as a nutritionist, as a certified nutrition, certified in personal training, certified in
nutrition coach,
all that stuff, what is your recommendation on the days and week, if you will, leading up to a tournament that's, you know, going to be pretty intense?
Well, I agree with Luke about drilling and getting some of that extra practice in, but always stretch afterward. And so when people are preparing, sometimes they overwork themselves. And so a lot of times they hurt themselves going into a tournament. So make sure you're getting that good amount of stretching in after you're done with your workout. Before your workout, do things like dynamic stretches. I can put some notes in to our Facebook page so that you can see what I mean by that. And then also hydration. So with tournaments, one of the things that I see the most for injuries are Achilles injuries and sometimes cramping. Like they just have a cramp so bad. Yeah.
You might as well keep going down the path then, because we learned when a friend of ours got very dehydrated a few years back that hydration is really not just water. And we knew that, but what are your recommendations on the best way to hydrate?
First of all, you want to start 3 days prior to your event, especially if it's an outdoor event and it's going to be warm. So that means drinking regular water, stay away from the sugary drinks that say that they're a hydration drink. Most of them are not. They're mostly just dessert. But also incorporate watery fruits and vegetables. Watermelon can dehydrate you a little bit, but carrots, cucumbers, tomatoes, add some vegetables and fruits in there that will also help with hydration. Try to stay away from caffeine, stuff like that.
Super. And then since we're on sort of the hydration or what you put in your body component of today's conversation, what about how we fuel our body as well?
Absolutely. So again, you've probably heard of carb loading. And sometimes it's our advice.
I heard car bloating.
carb
loading. So that's just for our listeners'
that's
sake.
That's my Indiana accent coming out. Sorry, y'all. No, it's carb loading. And so back in high school, that would be our excuse to eat pizza before a big tournament. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that at our age. So
would cinnamon rolls work?
No. That so, sucks. But you do want to eat healthy fats, you know, good sources of carbohydrates, whole grains, stuff like that. Stuff that your body's actually going to convert into fuel.
Look, you're a young pup, and probably anything you eat converts into fuel. You're still in that teenage space where I could eat anything.
I miss those days.
Sonic 30,000 calories. I was fine. Do you have a go-to meal before your tournament or something you want during that week?
I try to go for chicken and rice a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. That's very actually smart. Pretty good. Yeah.
Get a lot of protein in before I play.
Yeah, yep. Good choice. All right. Wow. Look at this smart kid we got here on the podcast with us.
I know. I would say that this generation is much more conscious about nutrition.
I'm going to throw mine in. I think my biggest thing is sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Get
mm-hmm.
good sleep, not just the night before, but 2-3 nights before. Do whatever you can to get on a good schedule and get really good rest.
And that can be tough honestly. When you're traveling on a tournament, but you sure. take your own pillow.
I do.
Yeah. Sorry if I embarrassed you.
I'm like Linus from the Peanuts or whoever that
you
do. Was.
You bring your own blanket and pillow because you know you'll get good sleep.
I do. I have, it's just a fleece blanket, but I think I always sleep with a fleece blanket. So if I have a fleece blanket, I'm comfortable.
Yep.
And I'm already in an awkward bed and an awkward room and an awkward city maybe or something I'm not familiar with. So a little bit of that home comfort, which is just a pillow and a blanket, it actually really helps me get good sleep.
True.
So now, I mean, this tournament is like 10 miles from home, so no big deal. I'll just sleep at home. Best sleep ever, but still. Okay, Luke, it's too late for this current tournament coming up, but since this podcast could be, you know, listened to for any given future tournament, what do you think is the right strategy for picking the right partner?
Ooh, I want to hear this.
See, I like to go with kind of like what counteracts my play style.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I like to play a banging game. I don't like to play a soft game that much.
Yep.
So that's why I prioritize my partners to kind of play them with more patience, more drops, more dinks, and hopefully set me up for better shots.
Is that why you chose me for the APP where we got silver in Miami?
Yeah, I did.
Because I'm not a banger.
Maybe.
Nobody believes that.
Oh,
we played well together, though.
Yeah, we did.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Okay, what about a female partner? Is it the same?
That's what I was... Yeah.
Okay, what about a male partner?
That's what... I mean...
Does it matter to you? You would have the same...
I would just kind of play with someone who counteracts my play style.
Okay, same criteria.
I like that strategy.
I want to play with somebody who is always going to have my back. I don't care if I hit it in the net, long, high, deep, wide, miss a second serve at 10 to 10. I want somebody who's going to be like, it's cool, let's go. You know what I mean? That's the number one thing for me. Somebody who's an encourager and wants me to be able to just quickly blow off and be focused on this next point. Like, that's the number one thing for me.
So it's important for you to have someone mentally capable of maybe calming you down
probably would help if someone could calm me down. I don't get too out of whack. No. I mean, there are times when I know I've made 3 or 4 bad shots or I've here's when I get out of whack, honestly. If they call a shot that I make that's in by a foot and a half and they call it out because they didn't see it because I hit it too fast and they were turning around, right, that sends me through the roof.
Right.
And I will probably have on the very next play a shot that I hit as hard as I possibly can
toward them
in their general direction. But it may go 20 feet out and it might hit the net, but I just want to remind them. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not even at their face. I'm aiming at their feet, but
no, you're right.
I do add an extra 10% on some of those. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I guess that's fair, Sky. Someone that can calm me down. But again, it's more knowing that they get that this is, at the end of the day, just a game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be super competitive and I want to win. And that's all good. But in 2 hours from now, our outcome will not change my life.
True.
Right?
And you're quick to point out an opponent's good shot. Like, you're like, hey, that was a great shot.
I don't actually do that much in a tournament.
No, but maybe afterwards. When
Yeah, after we beat them, I'll tell them they had a couple good shots.
Or vice versa. They beat you and your teammate. Yeah, yeah. I've seen you. You're a good sportsman.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe in that. But anyway, that's the number one thing for me. What's your criteria? You haven't been in many tournaments, but do you have a criteria for who you would pick as a partner? Think about a female partner, because if it's male, you're probably playing with me.
I would say someone that communicates well, someone who's not going to get super upset. But I'd want to be able to focus on the game itself and not trying to, you know, coax my partner into being in a good mood. I think it's, like you said, at the end of the day, it's a game. So I think someone that matches my personality in a good way, it could be, you know, someone who's very aggressive. I'm not always aggressive. I like to study the game. I like the strategy. I like to study, you know, where placement and precision.
Actually, I like that. I'm going to take that and shift it a little bit. And Luke, I'd love some more insight from you here, but I do believe in having a game plan with your partner.
Mm.
So yesterday, my upcoming partner and I spent time thinking through how we were playing on every play or most plays, who didn't cover middle or why didn't they, or who didn't cover the line and why didn't they, what caused us to hit, you know, this choice of a shot. Were we thinking about our partner when we hit that shot?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe more so importantly, Luca, what I want to ask you is not that strategy of what I would call reactive. I just screwed up. What did I do wrong? But what proactive strategy would you have in place? Like, are you thinking about whether or not you and your partner are on the left or the right, or stacking only on offense, or like anything like that, or what kind of what's your game plan there?
I like to I like stack. I like to play myself probably about 3/4 court when I stack. I like to play. I play a lot of offense. Yeah, if my partner and I mess up, and then I'll try to read it and fix what we can do for the next shot or the next point.
Yeah. Well, it is important to have that pre-game plan,
yeah,
right, with your partner. I want to talk about some other things I think tournament people should be aware of. And just in case some people are new to this particular tournament coming up in our town, which 450-plus players, which is super cool.
It is. It's going to be a good tournament.
It will be. It'll be the probably second largest tournament this year in our state. And it's been the second largest probably 2 or 3 years running at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, especially if you're new to a tournament, but even some of us that have done it multiple times, get there early.
Yeah, nobody wants their partner to walk in or to have a set of people walk in right at the last minute, because there's normally some instructions that happen by a pod captain or a tournament director, so that you know what to do, where to go. And if you are coming in right when you're supposed to start, you're going to miss that, and you're going to bump people into behind schedule. I don't know how to say that right. But
well, you're going to jack it up.
You really are. And then you're going to start off the tournament by frustrating everybody. And that's not a good place to be.
So use the word tournament director. I said TD earlier. That's a tournament director. If you're not familiar, the TD is responsible for the whole entire tournament. Like, they're owning, operating, running. They usually have a great staff of volunteers with them and other people to help, but that's their role. And the tournament director, here's what they love: when they're ahead of schedule.
Yes.
And so be aware that sometimes the tournament director before the tournament will put into the notes for the tournament, we will start the event up to blank, an hour early or up to a half an hour early, you know, if time allows, if we're ahead of the schedule. I think people need to look at that too. A lot of people just go, oh, look, I played 8 o'clock p.m., but they don't look at the fact that the other notes said we could start as much as an hour early.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say get there early, really study and understand what the tournament is expecting of you as a player, and then make sure that you're honoring and being there for those things.
And it's smart to come and watch.
Well, yeah, like especially, I think you and I talked offline about the singles.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm playing against Luke on Saturday in men's doubles, but I see that Luke is scheduled to play singles on Friday, I might want to watch him. Or if you and I are playing against mixed a team like Luke and Kelly on mixed on Sunday, well, let's watch him on and her on Saturday and kind of get a feel for how they play.
Exactly.
Chance we're already playing against them on Saturday. Right.
Right,
but if we're not, get a good chance to kind of see how they play, what their game seems to be like. You know, you look for patterns in people's play. What these guys tend to do. I know Luke's patterns fairly well. Doesn't mean I get to return all his shots, but we play a lot together, so I have a pretty good idea of where he's going to go and what he wants to do. I know when he wants to slide to the middle and try and rip that forehand. It's very helpful to take a peek at what they're doing.
Completely.
Here's something I do that not a lot of people do. Or at least what I would call not enough. Now, this is where the tournament directors are like, shut up, Kevin. Take your timeouts.
Secrets. Yes.
Take your timeouts. It's amazing. I mean, sometimes even if it's just to compose your own team, right? But it is amazing that sometimes they work. So sometimes they don't. I get that. I don't know if it's 50-50. Never looked into that before. Don't actually care. But I believe in using them.
And if you're the team that is not the one that called the timeout, then you use that time to hydrate.
If I'm the team that did not call the timeout, I look at my partner and I say, we just earned a break.
Yeah.
Good job, partner. Let's keep going.
That's a good point.
Yeah. That's how I look at timeouts if I'm not calling it. By the way, per the rule book, you can call a timeout all the way up until the ball is hit on the serve.
I did not know that.
So the score can be said. You can be swinging, but if the ball's not been hit and you yell timeout, the timeout is enforceable.
Okay.
Which I like to do. I like to wait till the very last second and call that timeout. And it's so frustrating to some of the players I play against. And I like that.
Why am I not surprised?
I want to frustrate them. So
yeah,
I know Luke has done it as well. He feels a little bit. Do you feel a little bit bad about
it? Iffy about it.
Yeah, he's iffy.
I've done it in tournaments too, and I've made a lot of people upset doing it.
Yeah, if they can't get over it, they're probably not the right partner for me.
What else?
Other great advice. Yeah, what other great advice do you have, Luke?
I like to have fun, like you said, right before a tournament.
Yeah.
Get all that, get your spirits up, and then go into the tournament with a competitive mindset the entire weekend.
I love it.
Do you have a playlist that you play before a tournament?
I do like to listen to music right before I play, get myself hyped up.
What do you got, man?
What do I got?
Yeah.
I got some Future in there.
Yeah?
Yep.
I got a little AC/DC. It's Thunderstruck for me, right?
Oh, yeah. I have heard him sing at the top of his lungs.
Yeah. I like
right before a tournament.
I also have a song called Level Up.
Yep.
Which I love to play as well. So
I think it's literally in your Spotify account as tournament playlist.
Yep.
Or pickleball playlist.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm going to throw a couple more at you guys. I think this is a tournament is when you play the smartest pickleball you can play. Know when to let a ball go.
Mm-hmm.
Know when to let a ball go. Always hit your shots, the smart shots in, smart placement. This is not, this is going to sound crazy. I believe at tournaments, you got to go for it because sometimes to win the gold, you got to beat the best. And to beat the best, you got to really bring your A game. So I'm not saying you don't do that. But what I'm saying is wait for the right shot, be patient. So place your shots where you need to place them. I have to be way more patient in a tournament than I am in rec. In rec, I like to go for it. Like, how do I get this impossible shot in? Because it would look really cool if I did. Well, net, vault, out, whatever. But in a tournament, I got to remember, like, that's not what I'm here for. If I got to dink 50 times, I got to dink 50 times. I got to do whatever I can do to set myself up or my partner up for that really good opportunity to put the point away.
True. And I think my volleyball coach in high school said it best. He would say, let the other team make the mistakes. You play the smart game. And at times, that's not the super wow move. No. It's not the fancy serve. It is getting your serves in, playing smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate getting beat by the boring people. And they're the ones that win.
They do.
Because they're consistent. They just wear you down. And I love it because it's very smart play.
Or they know when to hit hard.
Yeah. Look, go to your best shots in the game, right? If you're struggling or if you just don't know what to do, like just go to what's good. If you have a good backhand drop, get in position and use your backhand drop more.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you got a good forehand rip down the line, get in position to rip that ball down the line with your forehand. Use your best shots. Serves, I want to hear from you, Luke, on serves. My position is, you got to get a good serve in. I don't just mean get it in. It's got to be a good serve.
Yeah.
Not your hardest hit shot, not your shot with the most spin, but you've got to put pressure on them from the very first shot of you're giving them the opportunity to put the pressure back on you.
Correct. Yeah. I like to, I think the depth is the biggest part of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keeping that, if you can push them back off that back baseline, that gives you such a huge advantage.
Yeah.
If, right off that back baseline, a skipper.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's an out shot, unfortunately, in the tournaments if it hits that back baseline.
On a serve?
I'm just saying that people call it out a lot because it's a tournament.
But like,
I hate that, but
maybe just inside.
Yeah, get it inside for sure. You don't want to have that tournament out. Forget your errors. Get over it. The rule that I have for myself, and I don't try to impart this on my partner, but the rule I have for myself is when I'm in position to receive the next ball, watch my partner receive the next ball, serve the next ball, or be next to my partner when they're serving it, I don't care, whatever's happening, when I'm in position at the score being called, at that point, I've completely done everything I can to forget the previous play. I'm completely focused on this next play.
And there are some pros that have a reset. They'll do something in particular to do reset. I like that. I like to go to the back line and come back.
Yeah.
And it's almost a mental reset.
Yeah. I hate it when you do that.
I know you do.
Because I'm always like, why is she coming back here? I'm the one receiving serve. And then I tell you every time, you're up. And you're like, I know, I'm just resetting. And I'm like, go reset somewhere else.
Like, it works.
Like outside.
Okay. So,
Leia Jansen's one that you're talking about. She's like, tap, tap, cross, cross, you know, put your right foot in, put your right foot out, do the hokey pokey.
No, I don't think she's that.
No, she does like 19 things. It's ridiculous. Okay, what she really does is she does 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Kick the foot over. Yep. So she's like 8, 9 things.
Okay.
So.
But if it works for her.
I don't know that it does. I've seen her when she's not done it and when she has done it. And I've never really seen a big difference in her play. But she believes it does.
Right.
And that's all that matters.
Right.
Zane goes back and like
he taps the wall
behind him or like
that's what a lot of
grabs it
do.
Or something. And
there's something to that though. So
I agree.
When I played volleyball, before I served, I would smack the ball, which would freak out the other team, and it worked, and it was my reset. So I took that same idea and I applied that to pickleball. But I'm not saying that everyone should do that. I'm saying find something that works for you. So if it's just simply saying, okay, no big deal, moving on, great. But if you need something, a tool, like a reset, then incorporate it.
Now, in game, my reset is this. If I'm driving poorly or dropping poorly to the sides, I will tell my partner, I told Luke this in Miami at least once, I'm going to drop middle. My reset personally is go to the middle. I don't go there often enough. And it's actually a really good place to play the ball.
Excellent.
So I will drop, dink, drive, drip, dive, middle. For 3 or 4 plays in a row, because it really resets my mind. It gets me focused on a placement. Once I get refocused on a placement, now I'm back to dropping to their backhand, dropping to the forehand outside, lobbing over to the corner, driving, whatever, down the baseline or down the sideline. But I know I need to have that mental reset. So for me, rather than like, tap, tap, cross my knees, tap my heels, click, 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 I want to go home. For me, it's that 3 or 4 plays of consistently, rallies of consistently going to the middle. Do you have a reset?
What I like to do is I like to, if I'm holding my paddle, I like to toss it up in the air.
Okay.
Like catch it right back where it.
I've seen you do that. Just one flip, right?
Yep, just one flip.
Yeah.
Kind of playful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like do that 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I've seen you do that before. You actually usually walk away from the net when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then other, I might break my paddle my leg sometimes, but
I mean, it's happened, I'm sure.
It has.
Oh, well, that's a good tip, though. Bring an extra paddle.
Bring lots of paddles.
Well, we haven't really talked about the bag much. It happens to be our next episode is what's in your bag.
Right.
But this is a good one. You should have some kind of, pick a brand of rehydration, chemicals that you could add to your water, almost to call it.
And some tournaments will have that, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of brands out there. We're not sponsored by any of them, so I'm not trying to throw any particular names at you. But, just a packet of powder that you can throw in your water to rehydrate.
Something dry. Because
pickle juice.
Some tournaments will not allow you to bring in outside food if they're trying to protect their food vendors.
Yep. I think, for me, that Yobo I was talking about earlier, the little massage gun, that's a nice thing for me to have in my bag. That's a good reminder
Sport
to me.
Tape.
Well, yeah, but what happens a lot is at some tournaments, and this is what's cool about most of the tournaments we run nearby here. Somebody somewhere in our community came up with this idea of a pod captain, and it really makes the tournaments extremely efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't wait. So you might go to a bigger tournament and wait an hour between games. You're not waiting
right
like that at all at our tournaments. And but if you're at a tournament where you gotta wait, do not just sit down and not move. Horrible. Keep the body loose. I'm not saying walk the whole time.
No.
Sure, watch pickleball for 5 minutes and then walk to another court. Watch for 5 minutes, walk to another court. Whatever you need to do to stay loose.
And if you're not shy about stretching, there are other things that you can do. You can sit with your legs straight up, which helps with circulation. There's, if you have any stretching regimes or yoga flows, I mean, like there's so many things
I
that
got a few yoga flows.
you can do. Yeah, so I'm just saying that, there are things that you can do that can provide rest, but you can still be moving.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, look, any final thoughts on what you think needs to be done ahead of time?
Before the tournament or during the tournament?
Yeah. Oh,
Either
yeah.
or. I like to change my overgrip a couple days, maybe a day of tournament.
It's a good one.
If it's getting really like
Icky, icky,
yeah, icky.
icky, not sticky.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to change it. I like to go with like one overgrip. I take the stock grip off of usual paddles
Yeah.
and I put a new overgrip on it under it. It's more tacky and
Do
if
you
it
put the stock grip back on top of that?
no. I just take the stock like
You just take out the original grip
I'm on
and
the polycomb.
okay.
And then I put an overgrip on it.
So you don't double grip it though.
No.
So you don't really have an overgrip. You have a
A replacement
replacement
grip.
grip. Okay,
Yeah.
yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I do an overgrip. I like to keep the original grip on the paddle and then overgrip it. I just like that fatter handle a little bit. I think I would talk about mixed doubles for just a minute. I think in that game in particular, you need to be more mentally prepared than in men's doubles or in women's doubles.
Absolutely.
As the female, I'm not one, but I know that it's a different game because you expect more balls coming your way.
You do.
It doesn't mean you end up hitting more, but you expect more coming your way. They're going to drive more at you. They're going to drop more at you. They're going to dink more at you. Sometimes it's a really smart play, not necessarily just because they're picking on a woman. I don't mean that at all, actually, but because I believe in 2-on-1 anyway. Whether it's 2-on-1 and you're hitting to the guy or 2-on-1 and you're hitting to the female, you're isolating the other player and you're sort of icing them out, if you will. And it's a mental game to be ready, a mental mindset to be ready for that fast flick at you when you've not hit the last 25 balls.
Right.
All of a sudden, bam, you're in the game. You've been in the game the whole time. You just haven't hit any of the balls yet. So I think that's a big important one. Like to work on breathing is important. Not that I want to get too deep into it, but remembering to breathe during longer rallies. There's a lot of people that will kind of hold their breath. And that's, I'm not trying to say it's dangerous. It's just, it doesn't put you in a good mindset. That continually breathing piece is very important.
I've heard smelling salts work.
I've never tried.
I know someone who does.
Yeah. If it works for them. I mean, it's a eye opener. I mean, I've tried smelling salts before, but not because I was trying to be ready for the next pickleball play. But yeah, boom, that gets you, what's that, ammonia, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's like ding, you're very awake.
It could be overused, but yeah, I've heard that too.
I'm going to touch on one more topic that I think is important when you go to a tournament, and that is this. Either you are the sandbagger, or you should expect to have a sandbagger. Because in most
Are you going
tournaments,
to explain that term for the people who are
yeah,
new?
most people probably know it, but in most tournaments, there's somebody or a team that probably should be playing higher
Yep.
and probably would like to get a gold medal at the level they're at,
Yep.
and so they're playing at the level they're at. And look, this is where we talked about this in my Duper's and the Pooper and the pathetic current rating systems that we have, because they almost encourage
I was going to say,
sandbagging. All
force you. Yeah.
right, so I'm playing fairly high level at this next coming tournament, but I could play 3.0.
You could.
But that's like I've said before.
And you have done that before with me.
We played 3.5.
Well, we had to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt bad. Now they isolated and worked on you pretty hard in that tournament.
They did, but I knew that going in.
Yep. But I mean, again, I don't want to play 3.5, but these stupid rating systems. So what my point is, either you're sandbagging and you already know it while you're listening to me right here, or be ready for somebody to be a sandbagger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens every tournament.
Every tournament.
And then this is the opposite of that. And this is the last thing I want to share with everybody. Sometimes be that person who plays up. This is an opportunity to get really good experience playing with people you don't normally get to play with in the toughest of all settings, which is a tournament.
Absolutely.
I'm playing up this next weekend.
Same here.
I want to do that because I want the experience to me, it's a fairly inexpensive investment to get 2 hours on the courts with guys that are better than me. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. Playing up, I think, is a big deal. And I now, when you play up, nobody is sandbagging. Okay, this is on you.
Right.
Right? You're playing up, so you can't be like, they're sandbaggers. Enjoy your games, get beat, have fun. Whatever you're going to do, go do it. But I encourage people to play up in a tournament. It's fun.
I have one more thing to add.
What do you got?
I would say relax during the tournament as best as you can. Enjoy the whole thing because it is. It's supposed to be fun. And we do get wrapped up in the competition. But when you try to relax, you are going to find that you play better. If you're tense and you're holding onto that paddle too hard or you're just frustrated, you're not going to be mentally clear and you're going to make silly mistakes and it could spiral. So just relax and have fun.
I don't know why that made me think of like 10 more things, but I'm not going to, but I'm not going to go through all of them. But really fast, find out what ball they're using, practice with that ball ahead of time.
Absolutely. Oh,
court surface too.
Use as much as you can, mimic what the tournament's going to be like. If you can play at the tournament venue, do. If you can't, play somewhere that's similar to the tournament venue. Mm-hmm. Same ball, same type of venue. Get there early enough that you can find time to practice, warm up ahead of time. Make sure you lose for the first game so you don't have that, you know, rec play first game mentality that you have a tournament play first game mentality, which is significantly different.
Mm-hmm. You've even brought a different color shirt in case the ball was too hard to...
Yeah, there's rules about the colors of shirts, and I just don't want to be that guy that wears a shirt that's the same color as the ball. And
they get mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they don't like it, the tournament director can make you change, and so I'll just wear the one that makes sense to begin with. Last words.
Have fun.
Last words.
Yeah, have fun at the tournament, most importantly.
You know what? Have fun. Those are great last words.